How many of you believe Easter keeps happening? Right? Come on, let's celebrate that today. And as you're doing that, let's welcome our campuses that are joining with us today. Come on, help me do that. To all of our campuses, most of you know Love and Truth is a multi-site church. We welcome you today. Wherever you're at, thanks for being there, whether you're in Tennessee or Illinois or wherever you are. We're glad you're there with us today. We're excited about what God did last weekend. Over 4,000 people attended Love and Truth Church last weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Over 80 people made a commitment to the Lord. 5 or 6 people were baptized last weekend. So we are excited about what is happening at Love and Truth Church, and we're glad that you're there today. Now, I'm going to begin today following up from last week, and so I begin to think about what do you talk about the week after Easter? What is it? Because we're excited about that. We're celebrating that. We're thankful for that. But how do we move on to the next thing that God has? So I came across a book several years ago by an author named Marshall Goldsmith. And if you're a business person or whatever, it'd be a great book to read. And Marshall Goldsmith wrote a book, and the book's title was What Got You Here Won't Get You There. All right? And so that's my title today. I'm going to talk about what got you here, what got you to this moment, what got us as a ministry to this moment won't get us there to what it is that God has for us in our lives and in this moment. The book is all about how successful people become even more successful. And here's what I believe. I believe that God has called us individually to make a difference in the world. To do that, we've got to figure out what are the things that God is doing in us and through us that helps propel us into our destiny. Let me say this to you. God made you in His image and in His likeness, Scripture said. And if He did that, He's got a purpose for you, and He's got something that He wants you to do. And let me say this to you. Only you can fulfill the destiny that God has for you. Amen? And so we're thankful. And so a lot of times we get in these places where God has been good to us, and we don't realize that just because we're at a good place doesn't mean we need to stay there, that God's got something even better for us. And I know you're kind of thinking, well, Pastor, if I'm in a good place, why don't I stay there? So let me read you some scripture. How about that? Go to the book of Isaiah, if you would. I'm going to read a couple of passages out of the Old Testament. I don't preach a lot out of the Old Testament, but today I want to show you a couple of things that Scripture says to us from the Old Testament. The first thing that the Lord says in the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 18 and 19, He says this, "Forget the former things." How many of you found out God's not real sentimental? Right? He doesn't spend a whole lot of time on yesterday. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Then He goes on to say, next verse, see, I am doing a what? New thing. Everybody say new thing. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. You do not perceive it. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, if you want to just kind of keep something marking there, let's go back just a little bit toward the book of Genesis. Let's go to the book of Leviticus, and I want to read another passage to you, and I'm going to tie these two together today. Here's what the Lord is saying to the children of Israel in this passage in Leviticus. Leviticus 26, He says, I will look on you with favor. How many of you want God to look on you with favor? All right, campuses, I hope you got your hands up, all right? I want God to look on me with favor. And He goes on to say, I will look on you with favor. And here's what He's going to do. He said, when I look on you with favor, I'm going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. And then He goes on to say, now here's the part that caught my attention a few years ago. He said, you will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. Now, and I don't tell you, that is, in my brain, that just messes with me. Anybody else? God is saying to you, I'm going to do so much in your life that you're going to be living in this wonderful, marvelous place, and I've got so much good for you that you got to get that wonderful, wonderful stuff and push it out so you can even receive more stuff. You ain't got it yet, but you will. All right? See, here's the deal about God. God never gets in a rut. If you found that to be true, God is always, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's always changing. He's always moving. And what God says to us, look, what got me here, in other words, the favor of God that got me here, the fruitfulness in my life, the increase in your life, the covenant that God has made with you, that got you here. And that's wonderful that it got you here. How many of you are glad that you're here? Now, I'm not talking about in this room or in your camp. I hope you're glad you're there. But I mean, you're glad that you are at a place in your life. I'm glad God got me here, because if he hadn't got me here, I'd be in a mess. Right? But what I have to understand out of this passage here in Leviticus is that God is saying to me, listen, I got you here, but I got you here because I want to take you there. I want to get you to another place. Now, the problem with us is that we like things the way they are. You know, the joke is the only person that likes change in the church is the baby in the nursery. Don't mess with it. Don't change it. Let's leave it just the way it is. And yet, what we have found is that if we're really going to see God do wonderful things, we're going to have to allow him to change some things and to move us. In other words, I have to set aside the old to embrace what it is that God wants to do in my life. I've got to take last year's harvest, last year's blessing, the good things that I am living in this moment, I got to say thank you, Lord, but I've got to move those out to see what it is that God has for me now. It's kind of like a trapeze artist. How many of you have ever been to a circus or you've seen a trapeze artist? You ever seen that? You know, it's so graceful and they're swinging and they swing and they swing and they swing. But unless they let go of what they had, they can't get to where they want to go. And a lot of us are kind of like a trapeze artist. We're holding on to what we had and trying to hold on to what we're going to, and it's going to split us in two. It's going to destroy us because you can't do that. See, here's what I found out. The new thing that God wants to do is predicated on my willingness to push out last year's harvest so that God can send in this year's blessing. If you think that God has been good to you yesterday, God says, pardon my grammar, you ain't seen nothing yet. He says, I want to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works in you. How many of you God has been good to? Would you hold your hand up? We're a participatory church, by the way. Here's what I know. We all know God's been good to us. But you know what? God wants to be better to you. You say, well, God's blessed me good. Well, God wants to bless you great. God wants to do things in your life that are abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power of the Spirit. See, here's the deal. What I had yesterday will not take me to where I need to go. The things that I had, the things that I were holding on, the mindset. I began pastoring. I went on my first job was in 1980. Went on a church staff. I took my first church in 1984. Yes, I know I was two. Anyway. All right, and what I found through the years is that if I keep trying to do what I did yesterday, I'm not going to receive what it is that God has today, and I'm not going to get what he's got for next week, next month, or next year. Our issue is kind of like me. I don't know if anybody else does. I did this yesterday, okay? We have an. How many of you have ever said something like this? I'm just starving, right? I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Right, and Sherry and I were in Italy a couple of years ago, and literally on the menu they had horse. I didn't eat any, but you could order horse. Okay, you know, we say things. So yesterday it was kind of one. It was in the afternoon, 4:30, 5 o'clock. And so I said, I'm hungry. So we have. I don't know anybody else has one of these. We have a pantry. Anybody have a pantry in your house where you got it stocked with all this food? And we've got one that's it's wider than my arm span. So it's 6 feet or so wide, and it goes, you know, about 8 feet tall. And so I go. It opens double doors. Okay, so I open it up like this, and I stand there. Don't get ahead of the story. All right, and I scan this side of it, and I scan the other side of it, and I move stuff around and I pull stuff out and I, you know, I'm standing there 5 minutes messing around. And then I shut it and I walk off and I say, there ain't nothing to eat in this house. How many of you know I wasn't real hungry, was I? About 5 minutes later, she came by and said, you want a pizza? I said, yeah, that'd be good. Let's just do a pizza, okay? But that's the issue even in our walk with God and what God wants to do for us. It's this moment that you have to ask yourself, how willing am I to become hungry while I still have food? How willing am I to push out the comfortable place that I am in my life to receive the next thing that God has for me? And that can be family-wise, that can be in your business, that can be a spiritual dynamic that you're walking in. It doesn't matter. It fits you in every area of your life. You may have done this or that, and in this moment, here's what I've done, and yet God says, listen, I want you to move that out. You've got to move out last year's harvest if you want to receive this year's blessing. The third question that we need to ask ourselves is, what am I depending on from last year's harvest? What is it that I'm still holding on to? It's like, well, it got me this far, so I'm hanging on to it. Ever heard the statement that says, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? No. Sometimes you need to break it. Listen, let me talk to business owners for a minute. You did really good 10 years ago because you did business a certain way, and it went right, and it was really good, and now you're saying, man, we're still doing the same thing. We're still having the same employees. We're still doing it the same way. It's still happening, but man, my business is just falling off. Well, break it. Break the old routine. Boy, it got quiet. Break the old stuff that you used to do so that you can receive something new in this season. Because here's what I want to tell you. What worked 10 years ago probably isn't going to work today. See, in our lives, we do this in our marriages. We do this in our families. We do it in our walk with God. We kind of get to that place and say, well, this is just how we are. This is what it's going to be. This is the way our life's going to be. No. You need to come to that place where you are willing to push out, to get rid of that stuff so that I say, I am here, but how do I get there? How do I get to the place that God wants to take me to, where there are greater blessings, more benefits, where He can do more in me and through me so that I can make a difference in this world and my destiny can be lived out the way that God's called me to? So how do I get there? How do I get to that place where I can see what it is that God wants to do? So let's go back to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to give you four things out of that passage and how that you learn how to push out the old, get rid of what you were living off of yesterday. And again, that can be a spiritual dynamic. The worst thing that happens in churches is that we continue to do what we've always done. Right? We say, well, you know, God moved this way 5 years ago, so we're just going to, if we could just have service the way we did 5 years ago, right? Well, Pastor, you should have seen when we were having this kind of a revival and this kind of a move and this is, and if we could just go back to there. Let me help you. You can't go back to yesterday. You can't relive the past. All you can do is move on. So the first thing that you've got to do is found there in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. And the Lord says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Okay? So the first thing I've got to do is I've got to release the past. Okay? This is going to be good for some of you. All of you. Everybody. In fact, just look at your neighbor and say, this is for you. All right? Release the past. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to just share that with you, okay? The first thing you've got to do is you need to review what brought you here, okay? What was it? What were the things that got me to this point of my life? What was it spiritually? Maybe you're in relationship with the Lord and you saw your life really growing with God and things were going good, and then you kind of feel like you've hit a moment there. You've hit kind of the lid, and you kind of, well, what brought you there? Or maybe there was something in your profession. And you say, well, I got here, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. Well, you got to review. Go back, look at it, look at the things that brought you to this moment so that you can move on. The second thing you've got to do is that you've got to rejoice, okay? You've got to rejoice in the successes that got you here. All right? Last week was Easter. Last week, Love and True Church had over 4,000. We had 80-plus people get saved last week. We're going to rejoice and thank God for that, because that's something to shout about. That's something to be excited about. But guess what? We're not going to stay there. All right? We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep going into everything that God has. So for me to move on, for me to let go of what was happening back there, thirdly, I have to release some things. All right, let me ask you a question. Again, here's that participatory thing. How many of you have ever had somebody do you wrong? If your neighbor's hand is not up, they're dead. I mean, really, come on. Everybody, every one of us have been wounded by somebody. Somebody's hurt us. Somebody's cheated on us. Somebody's done us wrong. Somebody has done this, that, or the other. And what we've got to come to is that we've got to come to that place of releasing that. I've got to release the hurt out of my life. I've got to release. In fact, I'm going to do a series sometime this summer on forgiveness, because we've got to come to that place where we let go of those people. Here's what I want to tell you that you've got to come to. Every person that you hold something against, they're holding you in bondage. Okay? And I just determined years ago there was nobody worth my grudge to hold on, so they have dominance in my life. I'm gonna forgive them. Now I'm gonna be mad for a while. Right? I'm gonna say stuff under my breath about you. Come on, you know you do. You don't verbalize, you don't get up and you can't believe, right? So I'm not going to say anything negative out loud, but inside I'm going to be upset at you for a while. But then I'm going to get over it. Because why? Because I refuse to allow something that happened back there to keep me stuck in a rut back there. I'm going to release the hurts. I'm going to even release the failures. I'm going to release those moments I sinned. I'm going to release those moments I fell. The Bible says the righteous falls 7 times but gets back up. Failure is not a person. Failure is an event. It's not who you are, it's something you did. And you move out of it, and I'm going to release it, I'm going to let it go. And lastly, I'm going to release the successes in my life. Okay? There's nothing worse than going back to your 25th high school reunion and the high school quarterback hadn't got over it yet. You know what I'm talking about? Man, remember that game where I threw for 228 yards in one game? And that's the greatest thing that's happened to him since he left high school. Well, at some point, get over it, Bubba. You are 120 pounds heavier, and it's 15 years later. Let's go. So we got to move on, all right? The second thing you've got to do, look what the Lord said. He said, see, I am doing a new thing. See, I am doing a new thing. So what you've got to do, number two, to get to there, I've got to see the future. I got to see the future. I came across a statement years ago that has been just one of my favorite things, or not a scripture, a saying several years ago that has been one of the favorite things in my life, and that is this, and it's helped me through the years, and it was a saying that said, only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. And I have lived by that. Only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. I've got to come to that place where I see it before I see it. You say, Pastor, that's double talk. No, you got to see it before you see it. When you drive by a brand new building, somebody saw it before they saw it. An architect drew it. He saw it before anybody else saw it. That car you drove up in, somebody saw it before you saw it. See, you've got to come to that place where you are living your life. And a lot of people say, well, oh, Pastor, I have this great dream. I have this dream. Well, here's what I found out about dreams. Dreams are wonderful, but they're no good if you don't put some effort into it. All right? If you don't put some effort into it, some work into it, some putting yourself on the line, and saying, I'm willing to get out there and do something about it, as long as it's just a dream, it's not going to do you any good. But when you can see it and begin to operate as though it's already happened, that's what the scripture says in Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In that moment, I'm grabbing a hold of something that I haven't seen yet, but I saw it. Say, well, Pastor, I want to have a great family. Well, you got to see a great family before you have a great family. Well, I want to see myself successful in business. Well, you got to see yourself before you see yourself. You got to believe. You got to quit hanging out with everybody who's negative and believe in what they say. Whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. He says I'm healed. He says I'm delivered. He says I'm free. I'm going to believe his report. I'm not going to hang out with a bunch of knuckleheads who always reminded me of my past, right? Come on. That's why you got a mama. No, you missed it. Your mama reminds you of your past, and she got a right to. But I ain't hanging out with anybody else who's going to remind me of my past. Okay? It's like, no. Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on toward the mark of the high calling. And he goes on to say, and he said, there's a crown that's laid up for me. And he said, not just me only, but for all of those who come along after me who are pursuing, and I'm paraphrasing, who are pursuing what it is that God has called them to do with their life. The third thing we've got to do is that we've got to align ourselves with God's plan. We've got to bring ourselves into alignment with what it is that God says, okay? Isaiah goes on to say, now it springs up, do you not perceive? He says, do you see, can you not get yourself into a place of alignment in this moment so that God can do powerful and wonderful things through you? You say, Pastor, I want to get there. I want my life to get there. There's some of you today who maybe you've got great things happening in your life, but you've never asked Jesus into your life. You've never asked him to become your Lord and Savior. And the greatest thing you can do today to get there is to allow him into your life today to change your life. And so when we begin to understand that, we begin to say, wait a minute, how do I make that happen? Well, one of the ways that we make that happen is through prayer and fasting, the Bible says. The scripture says that some things come only by prayer and fasting. If I'm really serious, now let me tell you this, if I fast, I'm really serious. Anybody else like me? I mean, I don't like fasting. I thought the Bible said buffet the body, and then I read it, it said buffet the body. Okay, so I got it. But prayer and fasting. Not only do I need prayer and fasting, but I need the Word of God, right? Because the Word of God speaks to me. But not only do I need the Word of God, I need the Holy Spirit to speak to me. See, a lot of us, and I'm going to tread on some sacred ground here for a moment. A lot of us get so bound to the Word of God that we don't listen to the Spirit of God. I mean, I didn't see that in the scripture. Well, I didn't see walking on water in the scripture until Jesus did it. Right? There's no place in the Old Testament where it says, thou shalt walk on water. But Jesus just said, think I'll walk on water today. Not only am I going to walk on water, Pete's going to walk with me. I'm going to take him on a little walk, a little journey on the water. Right? Okay? Now, I know I've made you nervous about that. He said, Pastor, I thought everything was founded upon the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. I believe God's Word. It's God's Word. I got it. I believe it. I'm with you. I believe my Bible so much, I even believe the maps are holy in the back. I'm good. All right? But I want to tell you, as much as the Word of God speaks to your life, there are some things the Word of God doesn't say to you. Can I talk for just a moment about that? Because I know I make you nervous when I do this. All right? Pastor, it's got to be found in the Word. All right? Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe it's important to God where you work? Do you believe it's important? I believe God cares where I work. Well, let me give you, if you don't believe that one, how many of you believe it's really important to God who you marry? I've read this Bible several occasions throughout my life, and I did not find one scripture where it said, thou shalt marry Sherry Lee Graham. Wasn't in there. was not there. From Grayville, Illinois, it was not there. But we've been married 40 years because we followed the direction of the Spirit of God when He spoke. Oh, we also made another decision. That was, we're never going to talk divorce. I know she's thought murder a few times, but... it's a joke. All you literalists, don't freak out. All right. There are things that only the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And so you need to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. Not only does the Holy Spirit speak to us, but God also gives us spiritual leaders in our lives who can speak to us, who can help us to move in to everything that it is that God has for us. All right? Lastly, Isaiah goes on to say, the Lord speaking here says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The fourth thing you've got to do is you've got to take what I call the faith journey. The faith journey. I have found through my life that most of the time when God's getting ready to take me somewhere different, it's going to take a lot of faith. Right? It's like, Lord, last year's harvest, again, pardon my grammar, ain't so bad. What do you mean, move? What do you mean, pack up? What do you mean, quit this job and take that? Lord, what is it that you're saying? But here's what I found out about God. God's assignments are always about tomorrow. God's not speaking to you about yesterday's assignment. Because you can't do anything about it. You can't change yesterday, but you can change tomorrow. And I say all the time to us, we can change our history by what we do tomorrow. Because what happens tomorrow, the next day, is going to be history. And so you can look at your life and say, man, my life's a mess. Well, you can change your history by what you're doing tomorrow. If you will follow the assignment that God has laid on your life, you will begin to see God do great things. And what happens in this wasteland, what happens in this journey that takes us through the desert, is that God begins to do some things inside of us. Again, don't raise your hand, but just think for a moment. How many of you would say in your life, I got some things that really ought to be changed? Now, don't raise your hand, because we think you're perfect. All right? I got some stuff. I got one or two or 12 or 833 things that I need changed. The problem is that when God starts trying to change them, we start rebuking the devil. You say, what are you talking about? Okay, let me put you in the place of a man named Abraham. God speaks to Abraham, and he says to Abraham, hey, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham messes that up, and God comes back and says, listen, quit messing around. I'm going to give you a son with Sarai. It's going to happen. Just going to happen a year from now. Take it, mark it down. A few years later, 13, 14 years later, God shows up and he says, and it's not a physical manifestation of God, it's a voice of God. God shows up and says to Abraham, take your son, oh yeah, and by the way, your only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, I don't know about anybody else. In that moment, if that were to have happened to me, I would rebuke the devil. Because this can't be God. God can't be. God told me this was the promised son. God said this is the place that he wanted me to be. What do you mean take this and give it away? And that's what happens to us all the time. God says, I'm going to work. And we pray these prayers. Or we sing songs. You know, a lot of times we won't pray a prayer, but we'll sing a song. Like, change me, mold me, make me. And God says, oh, okay, glad you asked that. Let's go through the wilderness. Now, here's the deal. If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. If it's not those trying times of your life, you really don't get changed. It's in those moments of the wasteland. It's in the moments of the desert. It's in the moment where you are up against it that God says, okay, now I can do what I wanted to do. Can I say this to you as we kind of wrap things up today? The wilderness is not a detour. It's part of the journey. It's part of what God is up to in your world. And so instead of fighting against the wilderness, why don't we back up and say, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I don't know why in this moment you're having me to push some things out of my life. You're having me to go to a new place. I don't understand, but Lord, in this moment, I'll do what you say. In the year 2000, God began to deal with me about pushing some things out of my life. Sherry and I had been pastoring in Adamsville for about 17 years at that point. The church was in a great place. We had seen a church grow from 36 people to over 600 consistently week in and week out in a town of 1,500. We were happy. We'd raised our kids there. Things were going good. And God started talking to me about Jackson and moving things out. And it didn't make a bit of sense to me. And I told him that. He and I have a good conversation quite often. And I said, Lord, we're just now getting to the point I can enjoy things. And as I've jokingly said for years, they're not going to run me off, Lord, because I know where all the bodies are buried. So, Lord, why are you messing with me now? And when we started, and we'd go in that Holiday Inn in that meeting room, and sometimes the night before there'd been a party there and somebody had too much to drink, and over in the corner, you know what happens when you've had too much to drink? Well, you don't because you're holy, but talk to some of your friends. They know. We go in and clean up stuff, and I'd be muttering under my breath, Lord, I got a nice church. I got wonderful people. They love Jesus. They love me. Well, most of them. What am I doing here? Why am I doing this? There was no guarantee. There wasn't campuses. There was not. It was just, are you willing to push out last year's harvest so you can see what God can do? And we had to have some real heart-to-heart conversation with each other and with God and come to that place of saying as a family, if this is what God is saying, then we'll be willing to do it. And I look back at it now, and we never would. I mean, we talked about celebrating over 4,000 people. That never would have happened unless I had been willing. It hurt. It was painful for everybody involved. It was not a fun time. It wasn't a fun season. But we had to be willing to set it aside so that God could do something new. My question is to you, what is it in your life that you're grasping, that's keeping you from receiving the next thing God has for you? I'm holding. It's this, Lord, this blessing is mine. Yeah, it is. But do you want something new? Because here's what I know, and I'm done. Until you let go of what's in your hand, God never lets go of what's in his hand. But if you'll release it, he'll bless you exceeding abundantly above all. Amen.